Straight from South Africa.
This is the strange and mysterious world with your hosts, Lee Straighten and William Pollinson.
Welcome to season one, episode 23 of Strange Mysterious World. We are your hosts, Lee and William, all the way from Cape Town. So you had quite an awesome dream a couple of nights ago about abduction, alien abduction. Let's hear it.
Okay, now it's funny, like a few weeks ago, I was driving and I was thinking, I wonder why I don't have any abduction dreams. Like, surely people like must dream that a lot, or like, I mean, especially, you know, if you're interested in something, or like something like, I mean, I've noticed my life, if I'm interested in something or like if something stressing me out or whatever, I'll dream about things in my life that are like in my life, or like my subconscious is dealing with or whatever. But I mean, I'm obsessed with aliens and aliens abductions, and you know, I'm not say obsessed, but like I'm like very interested in it, and we've got this podcast, and I'm doing documentaries, and I did, you know, me and you, we did that whole documentary on UFOs, and I was just driving, I was wondering, why don't I ever have any dreams about me being abducted, you know? Yeah. Then, like, I don't know if it was 3 nights ago, I don't know when I sent you the message, but then I had a dream where I got abducted.
So tell us what happened, what you can remember.
Okay, well, I was in a building. I was on like a trip with some colleagues, like a work trip or whatever. And you're in some kind of, it was like a hotel, but at the same time it was like a hostel. And I mean, it was like, you know, the rooms, like, you know, square rooms or whatever, but we were in this building. It was so high that when I looked out the window, I could see stars below me and above, like stars were everywhere. So, and I actually got like really scared, and I thought, oh my gosh, like how can this building stay up straight, like so high in the sky? And then when I looked outside, I could see the building was so massive. It went on for like miles. And I mean, when I think about it now, I mean, like what kind of building has stars at the bottom? Maybe it was like a craft or something I was dreaming about, but I've interpreted it as a building. And then, it's been a few days, so I've kind of forgotten quite a lot of it. But the gist of it, I was lying in bed with my girlfriend. Well, I mean, like, not, I don't have a girlfriend, but like I had a girlfriend in the dream. And we were lying in bed, and then the light, the window just lit up this extremely bright red glowing, like the whole window was glowing. And I immediately was waking her up, and I was like, can you see it? Can you see that? And she says, yes, I can see that. And as she noticed it, I started getting sleepier and sleepier. Like I could feel that I was getting put under like in a sleep state. And I was trying to fight against it, and I couldn't. And eventually I went into a sleep state, but I was still awake, but I was completely like paralyzed. And I could hear everything that was around me, and I could sense like beings coming into the room, but I couldn't see them. But I was actually too scared to see them, and I was actually hoping that I would not see them. I was like, oh my God, like I just hope that I don't see them or whatever. And I was like terrified. And then the next morning we like woke up, and then I went to go see all my other colleagues. This is still in the dream. I didn't wake up in real life. I woke up in the dream.
In the dream, yeah.
In this hostel / I don't know, hotel we were staying in. And I went to go find my other colleagues, and then we were all discussing. I was like, oh my gosh, did you see the red light at the window? And they were like, yes, we did. And then they were saying like the same thing happened to me. And then the one colleague, she lifted up her pants, and then on her leg, there was like a hole, like a red, like it looked like she had got poked by like some sharp thing on her leg. And then there was like four corners like drawn around this hole where like if you like stuck a square thing over it, but you would just draw like around the corners.
Okay.
That was on a leg. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And I looked at my leg, and I had the same thing on my leg. And then everyone looked at their legs, and they all had it. And then we were all like holding our legs together, and we all had the same.
So you were chipped. You were microchipped. Did you check your legs when you actually woke up?
Yeah.
Did you feel if there's maybe a lump there or something?
No. So it was just a dream. So that was quite interesting. I got abducted. I had a dream, an abduction dream. It's quite exciting.
Well, you were asking for it. Yeah, so I think a lot of this stuff is what they call like a cover dream. So you're experiencing it, but they put some other sort of memory in your mind. So when you're trying to recall it, you're recalling weird stuff. Things that almost don't make sense. But apparently that happens quite often when they're doing abductions. People see doctors around them and then a hospital, but it's actually they've been abducted. But it's like a cover memory.
So you reckon I really got abducted?
I reckon maybe you did, eh? Maybe you did. You need to check around your body if you see if you've got any weird stuff. If something's burning. I'm not talking about when you're peeing and you're burning when it pees, but I'm saying like, you know, if you've got like burning sensations around around your knees, especially at the back of your knees, you know, your elbows, those kind of things. Mm.
Okay, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Behind the ears. They like to put stuff behind the ears. So that's actually pretty cool, man.
Okay.
All right. So you had an abduction. Maybe you should go to the hypnosis and try and see if you can find out what happened.
Yeah. It would actually be quite interesting. Yeah.
You know people that do hypnosis, so maybe see if you go under hypnosis, what happened there?
Yeah, the only problem is because when I was doing that past life regression documentary, which is finished, by the way, it's getting edited. I'm just so excited. They sent me the first draft a few days ago. It's so cool.
Yeah.
But because every time I interviewed one of these hypnosis regression therapists, they would offer a free regression, and I would be like, great. But I couldn't get hypnotized the first two times. The third time I got, that's the thing, because like when you get hypnotized by doing the documentary, I realized this because I always feel like I'm supposed to go into this altered state of consciousness. And I mean, like a lot of times when I was doing the interviewing a lot of the people, it did seem very vivid and very surreal. Like when they went into the, especially a past life, and they could see, you know, the experience, what they were seeing, it seemed so vivid that it was like a very surreal state of consciousness, but I would never go into that. I would just be like in just a very relaxed state, which I've found out, you know, that that's actually also been hypnotized. You just sometimes you don't even know that you are, because it's just actually just relaxing your nervous system, so your subconscious can come through more. So I thought I wasn't getting hypnotized, and the third time I was getting hypnotized. And also that's the thing, when you go see a past life regression therapist, they say this isn't a circus. You know, you don't come here just to see the past life, but this is a treatment. Like we try and heal whatever's in this life. And if it does require that if it's something that's not in this life that's we need to fix, then you'll go into the past life. You don't just come here to get the regression to go see a past life for a circus, you know? So I got, so the third time I went, the lady was hypnotizing me, and I started, she was taking me into certain parts, areas of my life that I was, you know, in this kind of life. And I got to my ex-girlfriend, my daughter's mother, and I had a panic attack. And I was like, I couldn't breathe. And I was like, on the bed, like, oh my God, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then she took me out of she actually also panicked. She was like panicking. I was like, couldn't breathe. And she's like trying to bring me out. She's like, yo, the count of three, you're going to come back. And I wanted to do, just click my fingers. And then she brought me out of it. And then I was like, I was quite excited because like something happened. I was like, geez, that was quite interesting. Like, you know, that I must've been hypnotized because that was insane.
Yeah, and you almost died, but yeah, that's cool.
But every time I went back with all the other people trying to get regressed, I never ever could get regressed far enough to, I mean, like the thing is like, I did have this one, like, but it was all like, it just felt like it was just my imagination making it up. But anyway, So that's a long story. That's about my, about regret. So I don't know if I can, but I'll try it out. I know a lot of hypnotists now doing that documentary.
Well, that's it. So try and try. Maybe something did happen, then you can come back with some news and say, guess what, man? I was anal probed.
Yeah, I have to do one for the show.
Yeah, you're going to do an anal probe for the show.
No. Now I'm going to get hypnotized for this. I'm going to see if I got anal probed. I hope I did get anal probed. It would be good content.
No, you probably don't want to get anal probed there. So we had a chat last week and we were talking about remote viewing. And I know we wanted to get that guy, what's it, Lynn Buchanan on. Hopefully we can still get him on sometime. That'll be actually pretty cool. But I went down a bit of a rabbit hole this last week, you know, researching this stuff. Did you actually do that YouTube video thing that I sent you? Did you do it?
I didn't, because I only got home now.
Okay.
You know what? Do you want me? Can I just tell you the one experience I did have from that past life regression thing? But like the thing is that it felt like it was more of a, like my imagination than like so vivid that I could see it. But I had this experience that I was in a castle, right? And we were all wearing these white clothes. I wasn't part of some family, but I was like the embarrassment to the family, like, because I was an hermaphrodite. I was half woman, half male, right? So
I was like, yeah, you were the woke child.
Yeah, no, how crazy is this? Like, I'm like, so against this woke movement. I just want to say for the listeners that the woke movement was cool when it was when it was fight against racism, where that's what, like, you know, but then everyone jumped on that bandwagon and destroyed the woke movement. And yeah. If I was a person of color, I would be so upset by everyone fucking up that movement for their own agendas. But anyway, I was a hermaphrodite, and I was an embarrassment to the family. And then my brother, he like took me out on this horse. Well, no, firstly, he cut off my hand in front of everybody in the family, cut my arm off.
Yeah.
Just for fun. And then they're all laughing and everything. And then he took me out on a horse and he took me out into the mountain and he threw me into these brambles. And then I died there in the brambles. And it's quite funny because, like, just even talking about it now, it actually makes me quite emotional thinking about it.
Hold on. So was this a past life regression?
A past life regression? Yeah.
Really?
Ah. Yeah. So, and then she took me into this other past life. I went into another one, and then there was all these arrows being shot over me. We were in like a war, and like there was all these arrows being flying over me, and they were burning all the houses around me. And then I got shot in the foot, and I fell down, and I got shot in the back or whatever. And I was dying, like looking at my daughter and my wife, like by the hut that was burning. And the funny thing was that I was getting really hot. And she had this blanket on me, and I was getting so hot from all the fire around me that I had to take this blanket off me. Yeah, so there's my two past life regression therapy stories. But I came out of that. I didn't feel like I was healed from anything. I was pretty traumatized from the fucking hermaphrodite story.
You went up, I suppose this was still in those days, you went up the road and you had a couple of pots. drink your sorrows away.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
So I think it was more disturbing than healing.
Yeah. But that's interesting, yeah. Man. That's very interesting. That's actually pretty cool. But anyway.
But I didn't get to do the thing. Sorry, Lee, because I only got home now from the bloody street. And I was so excited to do that thing. But anyway, tell us what you got there.
Well, there's another one that you can do, which I'm going to do tonight. So we got to get onto the remote viewing topic now. This took me down a bit of a – I was so excited when this happened. I was so excited. I'm in the rabbit hole now. Now I've got to go and do as much research. I'm going to try and see if I can get training done on this. I don't know who does it in South Africa because I've looked and there's no one. It's all overseas based. And I think it's going to be very costly to get some training done on this. Basically, remote viewing for our listeners out there is when you are... So remote viewers, they've got something called a target, which they have to try and not guess. Guessing I'll explain it as we go. But the military used it in the US from 1974 to 1995, I think it was. It was running for 20 years. The Russians still use it. The Indian government still use it. And the Chinese military still use it. So it's still in operation. Now, the governments are not going to use this stuff if it doesn't work, dude. Got to understand that.
They used it for 20 years in the American government. So 20 years, you can, that's a long time. I mean, that's, you come out of, you know, you go to college when you're 20. So that's so obviously if it, you know, I mean, if it stopped after 5 years, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe that's something, maybe it was bullshit. But if you're going on for 20 years paying tax money, there's something to it. I mean, and also they said that they closed it down and they said that it was classified and they declassified it after 20 years. But the thing is that they're still doing it. I mean, Joe McMonagle, one of the best remote viewers in the world, he also, I mean, doesn't say it directly, but because he obviously he can't, but he was a remote viewer for the army.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I've actually got his book. That's the one I'm busy reading.
And he says that, he hints to it that they obviously still doing it. It's just that they don't.
Well,
they just made it. Yeah, they made it sound like it's a load of bullshit, so the public can just fuck off and leave them alone, and also make it so that people don't think that it's real, because it's very effective, and they don't want people to know that it's real. And they start just using it.
Yeah. So what actually happened when I was listening to his, because he's been on a couple of, I think it's George Nouri, he's been on a couple of times. So I was having a listen to him and Ed Dames. Ed Dames is also a major that was in the Project Stargate. So was he. Joe was also in the Project Stargate. He's on the fence as to whether they're closed or not. This is because what had actually happened when they first started this whole project, he actually had zero psychic ability, like nothing. He wasn't interested in it. It was like a no-go for him. They recruited him when he was in the intelligence as an officer in the intelligence unit. He reckons that a lot of money was spent on this project because the Russians were doing it. They got on board because the Russians were doing it. When it ended, he says, look, but we can't know for sure. And also remember now that the military in the US, they don't do most of the stuff on their own anymore. Now they actually send it out to private companies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so they might not be doing it as per se, but there's private contractors that may still be doing it for certain reasons. And the things that he was telling us, when you listen to the YouTube videos and that, it's fascinating because they were searching for Osama bin Laden, they found him. They were searching for murderers and serial killers, they found them. They were searching for, there was a plane, one of the US personnel went down in a plane, they couldn't find him. And these guys actually pinpointed where the guy was, but they didn't listen to them. And they eventually found them where these guys had told them they were. So the stuff is absolutely phenomenal. And I thought, I was reading it a little bit, I thought, I don't know, because it's ESP. It's part of the extrasensory perception group, when you've got clairvoyance and telekinesis, and it falls in the same category.
Is it sending your mind? Well, just tell the viewers what remote viewing is. So
I was trying to get to that point. So what actually happens is, say
your mind through space and time to a certain location or like a person, location or thing.
Yeah. So there's a realm that exists that most people, we access it in our dream world. Some people call it the astral realm, but there's a realm that exists where everything past, present, and future is in existence. Everything that has happened is there. Everything that will happen is there. So we currently, remember we had this discussion a couple of podcasts ago where we actually said that we may be living in the past, where we just actually walk in the steps of things that have already happened. Remember that? So he actually confirms that. He says, your mind, so think of The Matrix, the movie. You know that in the movie, all the human bodies were plugged into the computer and it was your mind that was living in the simulation.
Yeah.
Okay, in the movie. Now it's something similar, but it's not your brain. It's not your physical body that's connected. It's your mind. So one of the guys did say the brain, but it's not your brain. Your mind is connected, and every single living being, every single living entity, whether you're an ant, whether you're an elephant, whether you're a human, whatever, everything that has a consciousness is connected in this realm. And you are able to tune into. So this is what I was trying to explain. Remote viewing. I'm in the military. I want you to remote view a target. I want you to see a target, but you're not physically there. You're in some room in the US, but I want you to find something. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to say, hey, this is in Afghanistan. It's about 10 clicks north of the border, blah, 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 blah. Nothing of that. I've got a photo of what I want you to remote view, a building. Okay. There might be some forest around it.
Or sometimes they put a description down. They just write a description.
Yeah.
But then they don't tell them that. They put that in an envelope.
Yes. So that thing that I've got now goes, I'm called a monitor. I monitor the stuff. So I put the stuff into an envelope. But before I put an envelope, I put letters on it. I will write HBSK-148. It'll be my own numbers. I'll put it on because that now.
Yeah, just random. It's random.
Yes. That because I'm now connecting with that picture. That is my energy that is on that picture. And it's my energy. I put it in an envelope.
Or like not just the picture, but if it's the description, it'll be like, find the location of Osama bin Laden. Then they'll put that in the envelope, but they won't show the remote viewer. They just put that in the envelope and put the number on it.
Yeah. Then what they do is the person that's got the envelope will go to the remote viewer and they'll say, all right, these are the numbers, H, B, Q, S, whatever. This guy then has to go.
Call them coordinates.
Well, there's coordinates that they use, which is like your proper coordinates, like 16 degrees east, 4 degrees west. There's that. But then there's just numbers that the guys use, like a random set of numbers that this guy has assigned for that specific picture. But this guy that's got the numbers has seen the picture and has actually written the numbers himself. And there's a reason for that. I'll tell you now. So once this thing is closed up in the envelope, he will go to the remote viewer and he will read these numbers. He'll say H, B, whatever. And the remote viewer with those numbers has to project his mind into the astral realm, if you want to call it, the A field or whatever anybody else wants to call it, pick up the image that's in that realm and then draw it. Now, they reckon that's 40 to 50% of the time it's accurate, 100% accurate. That is very high.
You sound like a guy from Anchor Man 2. It's like, yeah, put this deodorant on. It gets the woman. It works 50% of the time, 100% of the time.
Yeah. So that's kind of remote viewing, as easy as I can explain it. So you're sitting in a room. These guys give you some numbers. You've got to go onto the astral realm, into your mind, see the images, draw the images that are coming into your mind from those letters that he gave you.
Yeah. But there's old Ingo Swan, because he was the first guy that actually made the protocol, because there's a whole protocol that you have to do. Like you write the number and then you got to do like a squiggle with the pen, which is called the ideogram.
Yeah.
And then they got to poke the ideogram, poke it. They feel it. And then there's like, they've got to write down, then there's like the next step where you got to write down if it's natural, man-made, water-land interface. And then after that, then you got step one, and then you just got to start just writing down everything that comes into your head, the textures, the colors, the taste, the smell. You just write down that for a while, keep going. And then once you start getting images, then the images start coming, then you start sketching images. And then it goes into like step four or five, where they even get more technical. And then it's like, then they get all of that data, they compile all the data from the pages, like all the textures, the taste, the smells of whatever they came through. And then they reveal the target, and then they see, how accurate or whatever they got. That's how it works.
Yeah. So a lot of the times what they do is they work with about three or four viewers at the same time, and they're all doing their own thing. They're all sitting kind of in rooms on their own. And then what they will do is they'll gather the data and they will see what matches.
Yes. And also can verify, because then the four or three people, they'll have the same images, the same sketches, like they can see what they can verify from all three or four. That's also like when I go see a psychic, I'll go see three or four and I'll see what is the main thread that comes between all of them. That's then I know, okay, that's probably accurate, because like four of them said the same thing, But also the history of it started at, because they heard that the Russians were doing psychic espionage. And then they started, and I forgot what the date was, but then it was through the Stanford Research Institute at Stanford, eh?
Was it Stanford? Yeah, SRI.
And then they got like people like Yuri Geller. That's when Yuri Geller went. They recruited him. Ingo Swan. Kit Green was actually the head of the CIA then. And he actually ran that whole project. And that's also so cool, because you can watch some of those documentaries of Kit Green, the head of the CIA, saying like all of the experiments and like how accurate they really were. Like that submarine, the Russians were building a submarine. Well, that's the thing. They got the remote viewers got the target, and then they were like, they're all drawing, and they kept on drawing the submarine, but it was like in land, and everyone was laughing. They're like, how can this be submarine and land? And then when they went to go and investigate with satellites or whatever, they saw, they're building the submarine like in this thing, like that was on land, like quite far away from the sea. And then they were going to import it there. It's funny, because like David Milhouse, because then there's all of, because David Milhouse was one of the remote viewers. I actually got a course from him It was like something like 8,000 rand or something. I remember, like, I was with my ex at the time, my daughter's mother, and she saw that on my bank statement. And I spent 8,000 rand for this fucking remote viewing.
And have you still got, like, it?
No, because she went and Googled it, and she found out what it was, and she was so fucking angry at me. She's like, how the fuck can you spend money on this bullshit? What the fuck is this? Like, and then she thought I was lost my, well, she still thinks I've lost my mind. I mean, like you know the story of what's happening in my life at the moment. But the thing is, so, and then also then she Googled and she saw that, she thought, well, I was trying to contact aliens. I mean, like, there's a lot of remote viewing
stuff. You can actually. I'll talk about that now, but yeah, you can.
But I was just doing it to see if it was real or whatever. And I mean, I did the course, like, I did a lot. Like, I did for like 2 months, I would do it every single night, like constantly. And I would get a few hits, but like, I was pretty shit. Because it's great, because on David Milhouse's course, there's like, he gives you hundreds of targets, so you can practice all the time. A lot of the remote viewing sites actually have, even the free ones, you can check the remote targets. So I got the one target. And, you know, I do one every night, you know, and then the other night I was doing one, and that was the Louvre in France.
Yeah.
And I drew the building, and it usually, like, I go through, like, you know, I do 15 or 20 minutes of this thing, but this, it was like almost instantaneously. I was in stage one and I went straight, and usually I have to go through all of the colors and everything, but, or textures or whatever, but I just immediately just had the Louvre structure, and I just drew, like, the Louvre, and I wrote the Louvre underneath it. And usually that's an analytical overlay, which was because when you're supposed to come through the data as neutral as possible. So when you see like a pyramid shape, you can't say pyramids of Giza, because now your logical mind's putting like an image onto the data.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to say triangular object, hard, yeah, rough, yeah, big. You know, you can't start thinking, oh, that might be the pyramids, that might be fucking whatever, the statue behind me. So that's an analytical overlay. So I thought it was an analytical overlay because I was like, oh, it's the Louvre. And I was like, oh, I'm just
making it up.
So I put it, but then I was so sure that it was. So then I opened up the target, and sure enough, there it was. It was the Louvre.
Sure.
I got an immediate hit. It was amazing.
But now, like, where's this course? Have you still got it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Is it on digital thing or what?
I'll send you the
link.
The thing, yeah.
Yeah, geez, dude, I'm so keen. Let me tell you what happened to me during the week.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Dick Elgar. He's busy being interviewed. And he decides, now this was done 2 weeks ago. It was a podcast. I can't remember the lady's name that he was, the podcast he was on. Something about Journeys of the Earth, or Faraway Journeys of the Earth, something like that this lady does a podcast on. And he said, okay, yeah, we got to do a test. We got to test this out now. So he says, all right, everybody at home, grab a pen and paper. So now I think, okay, fuck, now I'm going to try and do this. I'm going to grab a piece of paper and I grab a pen. It's okay, go and find a quiet room. It's got another spare room that I go and do my meditation in. And I go and sit there. And he says, all right. He's got this envelope with him and he says, these are the numbers. He says, close your eyes. Now, okay, we'll get back to the closing eyes story. He says, close your eyes. Look up to about 45 degrees above your head. There should be a chalkboard in your mind. You must pretend there's a chalkboard there. You close your eyes, see the numbers that I'm reading to you, like almost draw them on the board. So I did that. I closed my eyes and he's reading the numbers out. He says, all right, open your eyes, look at the paper. That's what I did. He says, all right, close your eyes, go back. I'm going to give you 2 seconds. Go back and look at the chalkboard. 2 seconds. You open your eyes and you got to draw what you see. So I thought, okay, cool. So this is all right. He says, close your eyes, look, open. So I'm like, all right, I draw. Now I draw a triangle. Not a full triangle, like just the top section down. So I thought, yeah, what the fuck is this? And this is okay. And then you do it a second time. And then I draw 2 lights. And what the fuck is 2 lights? Anyway. And then he does it the third time. And then I've got this like couple of squares, an arch and a couple of squares. And I think, like, the fuck is that? It's like, what did I do? Anyway, he says, all right. Then he opens up the envelope. It's the fucking Eiffel Tower. So the triangle piece that I saw, remember, it's not a closed triangle. I just saw the 2 lines down. So it's like the either side, not the bottom side of the triangle. If you look at the Eiffel Tower, it does a triangle. That's triangle shape from the two bottoms up down. The two side pieces, I had no clue. There was nothing on the fucking picture that showed the two orbs. But then the arch with the things on the side, I thought, no, fuck, I've missed it completely, dude. She picks up a picture. She says, even if you are close enough and you've only got the arch, and I realized I fucking drew the arch. And on the side, and the sides of the arch were the buildings, which is where the square things I drew. And I'd drawn the square things with the arch and the square things. So I was obviously seeing the bottom piece of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was fucking, sorry for swearing, I was blown away. I was, oh my, this is actually true, dude. I was like, I can't believe it.
Because like that's also because I'm actually the first, when I heard about remote viewing, I bought old David Morehouse, his book. It's called Remote Viewing. very unique name.
Yeah.
Kind of spot on.
That's not the one that came in 1945, is it?
I can't remember, but anyway, it was an audiobook, and then at the end he goes through the whole protocol, like, because you got to do a cool down session, which before you start like a meditation to get your mind clear. Sometimes listen to white noise or binaural beats, and then he gives you the coordinates. And I remember that first time, and he takes you through it verbally instead of, because the protocol, you got to learn it. Like, you learn it quite. The thing is to learn it so much that you don't have to think about, okay, that thing goes there. You got to draw a little bit here. You got to write this thing here. You got to put the date there. You got to put, because it's like, you got to write down your feelings in the beginning. Like, it's any advanced visuals that you got during the meditation. So there's a whole structure to the paperwork.
Yeah.
So if you learn that, then you can just cruise through it, because then you're coming out of your brain, you're going into your left brain, where you got to trust down your right brain. So like, once you learnt it, then you can just go through it and you've been in your right brain the whole time, not keep on thinking, oh, how do I do this with it? So he takes you through a guided one. And I remember I went through the guided one and I drew this, like, the drawing didn't really make that much sense. But then at the end, you got to write down the description of what your data came up to. And I wrote down a very cramped environment, narrow places, you can't, it's hard to move through, and very cramped environment or whatever. And then when he brought up what the target was, it was the space station, which makes sense, because, if you're sitting there and you're like kind of, and then the next one was, I was getting all of these like patterns, like on a, like little round patterns, like it was a rough texture, whatever. And then it was an elephant, like in this water. And I thought, oh, that must be the skin of the elephant. But there's part of the protocol where you zoom out when you think you're too close up to the target, because your subconscious mind just plonks you there and goes through time and space, whatever. And when you get to the target, you could be like right in front of it. You could be like 100 meters away from it. You could be inside it. You could be outside it. You could be on top of it. You could be underneath it. Mm-hmm. You could be in the ground below it. The thing is that when you feel, you got to get a sense of where you are sort of with your pictures or whatever. And then when you feel like you're too close, you write down like, move back 100 feet, or move back, or go forward 100 feet, whatever you want to say. And then your subconscious like goes back or in, so you can direct what you're looking at by going in and out. And there's so many different techniques though, because there's like there's coordinated remote viewing, and there's I forgot what all the names of them are.
I think there's 4 or 5 different ones that you can actually do.
But I think it's just the structure of the part. But then also Courtney Brown's one is like, it's so different. It's like you got to like put your hands on your legs, and then you look up, like almost like you saying, and you look up, and then you quickly record your image, and it's got a different kind of way of doing it. So
yeah. So now with Dick Algo's one, basically you close your eyes, you're looking at the drawing board for literally a second and a half, 2 seconds maximum. He says, because otherwise the data becomes flooded out by your imagination. But now when I was listening to Ed Dames, he was saying he does with his eyes open, preferable to do it with the eyes open. But there was no like a, it doesn't say it's a 1.5 second thing. I think he's just putting down images that's coming into his mind. And he was quite sharp at what he was doing. I mean, the test that they did with him, he was accurate, but he was seeing it from a almost like an astral view, like he was above. He was seeing a bridge with water. These guys were there, so he was remote viewing where they were, and they were standing eye level looking at it. But when he was looking at the bridge and he was drawing it, he was standing at it, he was like looking down, like you said earlier.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Wow. I don't know, because, you know, one says 1.5, 2 seconds maximum, because then you lose your data. The other one says, no, you must just draw whatever comes into your mind and hang on to it. So I don't know who to kind of believe there, but the whole idea there is you're on this A field, this field where everything exists. Time and space doesn't exist. You are tuning in to that frequency of that specific picture, that number that they've put on there. That's why it's important that they've got a number on there. Because that number has got a frequency now of that picture, because that person that took the picture has got his energy on that picture, and that frequency is now in the A field. So now you're tuning in to that specific frequency, if that makes sense. And apparently everybody can do it. Every single person in the world. He did suggest, though, that schizophrenic people don't do it, and people that smoke too much weed don't do it, because it can be very detrimental to you, to your psyche. But apparently every single person, we're all born with it. All sentient beings are born with it, and we can do it. But I was so excited, dude. I promise you, that then shows that this world as we know it is barely what we actually really know. There's so much out there, dude. Because I know the military were looking into telekinesis as well. They were looking into clairvoyance, telepathy. All these studies were going on. So there must be something to it. And one of the guys actually asked Ed, he said, don't you think we should be, no, it wasn't Ed. He asked Dick, don't you think we should be teaching this at schools? And he said, of course. This is a skill that you learn. It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
You know, you learn the skill and it atrophies over time if you don't use it. And, you know, I mean, I'm in my 50s. I've never used this. Can you imagine? My atrophy is so bad. But it's like shooting. I mean, if you're shooting a rifle and you're a sniper, you've got to shoot often to keep that skill going. If you don't shoot for 4 years, you're going to come back and shoot the pillow next to the oak you're supposed to be shooting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's funny because when I was interviewed Dean Radin for my documentary, I said to him, like, does everyone have psychic abilities? And he says, yeah, well, everybody can play tennis. Well, not everyone, but he was saying, you know, you can all learn how to play tennis. Mm. You can all learn how to play tennis. Mm. But some people can do it
play better than others. Yeah.
And obviously, if you practice it more, you can be better at tennis.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, Ed Dames, who was a major in the Stargate project, reckons he was kaka. He was like one of the kakaest oaks when he was doing this thing. But he's good. Yeah. He's good at what he does.
Yeah.
Because you're learning it. You get taught it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was doing. I did every day for like 2 or 3 months. I did it every night.
Yeah.
But I didn't seem, I don't know, I just couldn't, I would get like some hits, and then some days I would be really shit, and then others. So
he did say that the state of mind is quite important. The state of mind is very, very important.
I would meditate half an hour before I'd do it.
He also said not necessary to do that because it becomes a crutch. What's the word? It does. It becomes a crutch. So all these things that you're doing up before you do the thing, if you miss something out, you do it slightly wrong, it's going to stuff your mind up because now you're thinking, shit, did I actually do that right? Did I wipe my glasses 10 times the right way, or did I go accidentally 9 times?
Start becoming OCD. Turn the switch on and off like 6 times. I go open the fridge 10 times, tap your right foot 30 times, tie your left shoelace 10
slap your
times.
Wife's ass 10 times.
But you know, Dick Allgaier, and because there's some really cool remote viewing sites out there. Like there's a Hal Fire.
I couldn't find any, dude. I was fucking looking everywhere and I couldn't find anything. Eh?
Oh, man, you should tell me, because Courtney Brown had one called Farsight, right? And that's where Dick Allgaier, he started with Daz Smith. Okay, so Courtney Brown had has a really cool thing called Farsight, right?
Yeah.
And that's where Daz Smith and Dick Allgaier, they were the main remote viewers there. And his son, anyway, so it was the three of them. And there was someone else, I can't remember. But anyway, Dick Allgaier and Daz Smith, they were phenomenal. So they would get targets, and they got a really cool project, like who built the pyramids, Area 51, you know, the war in heaven, you know, like just really cool esoteric kind of things that we all wonder, like, you know, what is that about? And they even did like the Boeing, you know, the Boeing jet that went missing in Malaysia.
Yeah. What did they say about that?
They said it got, well, the data that came back from the remote viewers is that there was a some kind of extreme energy that went through the sky and just destroyed it. Like it got shot down by something. But like a lot of the data was like it was a laser beam or like this extreme energy force that came through the sky. So that's what all the data came out. But they'd done like who killed Jeffrey Epstein or whatever, but those are like more recent ones. But when Dick Allgaier and Daz Smith were doing it, they were just phenomenal. Dude, you must see, because when you compare the two data, like when they did, what happened with the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And like it's like, it's so cool when they come back with the same data, like, because they just get a number and then they both go off on their own mission and they come back. And they show all of their data and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And but then obviously everyone started complaining to old to Courtney Brown, like, why is it
only white guys?
Two white guys doing all these remote viewings. So then he fired them. Well, I didn't fire them. I think he just asked them, whatever. They left. And then he just hired these hot black chicks. Now there's just all these hot black chicks in these skimpy, like sexy outfits remote viewing. So it's quite
Do you know that? When you talk about Ed Dames, not Ed Dames, you talk about Dick Allgaier, but him and Ed and Joe all spoke about remote viewing UFOs and the farther side of the moon.
And yes, Ingo Swann, Penetration. Did you read his book Penetration? Ingo Swann is like, because that's when Ingo Swann was developing the whole remote viewing structure, he actually developed that whole, the protocol for the US Army. This one army, he wrote a whole book on it called, I think it's Penetration. Jeez, it sounds kind of phallic, but but anyway, so he got these coordinates from an army general and he started, and it's in the book. And he's remote viewing this, and he's like, okay, it's like this gray white sand, and he's like, there's not any oxygen, and he's like trying to figure out where the hell is he and everything. And then he starts realizing like he's on the moon. And then he starts seeing that there's all these people mining on the moon.
Yes.
But it's but he sees it's naked people. It's like all these men, but they're naked and they're mining on the moon. Mm. And then he says they sensed that he was there and they didn't like it. And that's what a lot of the time of the remote view thing, because Courtney Brown's whole stint now with the hot black chicks, like they've gone, like they started off with like all the cool conspiracies in the world, like old Daz and Dick remote viewing those. And then when they left, they just, now they went alien before. They like with the hot black chicks. Now they just remote viewing. Just all of this alien stuff, like all the reptilian stuff, and it's just alien. Everything's alien. I don't know if they got a market now that's just all alien. I don't know what happened. They were just went off the tracks, and now it's just all about aliens. And I think it's tainted. I think Courtney Brown's like his intention when he puts out those the coordinates for them, like his intention in there is like polluting or whatever. But the thing is that they have asked him that, and he says no, that he meditates like for an hour before he does the coordinates, so he knows that it's fresh and clean. And there's another way to do it, like to it's like a double blind, whatever, like he's got the coordinates and then like someone else puts the number. I don't know how it works, but it's like a double blind thing so that there's no interference with it, and then they give them the numbers. But then it's funny because they did the Jeffrey Epstein one and then they came back with the data and it said, no, he died alone in the cell. But then it wasn't good enough. Courtney Brown, he didn't like that result. So they did it again. But then he says he's developed this technique where he's like that people put blockages on the data so you can't get the real data. But he's found a way to eliminate those blockages. So now that the data came back, no, there was three men in the cell and they killed. So I'm like, oh, okay, now you just like
making things up. you can't block it. There's no blocking. You can't block it, dude. There's no block.
You just want to like give your audience like what they want. But the thing is that now Dick Algar and Dave Smith, they went and made Hellfire with Ed, the guy you're talking about, Ed, and there's like some other guys. It used to be called crypto viewing because they did like remote viewing for cryptocurrency.
Yeah, they still do.
And that's where I lost a lot of money because of that.
Oh, really?
I didn't lose a lot of money. My cryptocurrency doubled. And I got so excited that I put all this other money. I put all this other money in it, and then when it started crashing again, I got so scared. I just pulled all of it out.
You should have left it.
So that money that I doubled, so like I didn't lose any money, but the money that I made, I lost that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like I got all the money that I put in it out, but the money that I actually made when it grew, I lost that. Anyway, so then and then Laurie Williams, she's also got a really good course online. I know Dave Smith does a course. Azia Brown, from Remote, they does a course. Some of those black girls on Courtney Brown's site, they also do courses. Lynn Buchanan, because Lynn Buchanan was one of the, which I was hoping to have on the show because I had him in my documentary, and George Clooney actually played him in The Men Who Stared at Goats, which is actually a movie about the whole Stargate project of the remote viewing project.
Yeah,
Many Stared Goats, like that's and George Clooney plays Lynn Buchanan. Lynn Buchanan actually has a very good course as well.
Okay. Well, remember when I was telling you I was doing that whole Eiffel Tower thing?
Yeah.
I got so excited. I go to my bedroom because my wife's in bed, and I go, check this out. You won't believe. And I'm explaining this thing to her, and I'm showing her the pictures, and I'm showing her that, and she like looks and says, okay, that's cool. Like. No enthusiasm at all. It's like looking at these pictures and thinking, what the fuck's that? It's like, fuck. I was like so excited today. I'm like so excited. My wife's like, what the fuck okay. It's like your parents. Like
the worst kids drawing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's like your parents when you told them about your daughter and how she could like navigate blindfolded. And they're like, okay. Yeah. You're like, fuck, that's so cool.
I send the video to my aunts and my mother and say, like, look, I've taught my daughter how to see a blindfold. And they're like, oh, okay, what's the purpose of that? And I'm like, what do you mean what's the purpose of that? Like, I'm showing you, like, something that's, like, so phenomenally, like, it's, like, amazing. That's, I mean, and you just, like,
okay, that's nice. Yeah. It's like, damn it, man. I'm so excited about this. But the thing with me, though, that, it didn't change my worldview, but it did confirm. It confirmed for me what I've always believed. So that for me was awesome.
You said, I know it is cool. I love it when you get confirmation like that about these things. But like but you said you had a course as well that we were going to do and then try.
No, that's part of the Monroe Institute. And I think it was something else in the Monroe Institute, but it wasn't the remote viewing.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Anyway, I'll send you the one I have.
Yeah, please.
Let's start doing it and report back. You know what? Because I think I'm going to try another one. As I'll give you that one, you can go with that one because I've done it for ages, and I'm going to look at the Dick Algar one, that one that you saying, and I'm going to try that every night now for the next 3 months and see what happens.
Okay. Did you? But you've got. You say it's a digital thing, so you can send it via WeTransfer. So.
Yeah.
I'm busy reading that book by Joseph McMonagall.
McMonagall, yes.
Yeah, Remote Viewing Secrets. I'm busy reading that. And that's quite interesting. He kind of equates all the stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four with like a martial artist, like a white belt, yellow belt, orange belt, brown belt.
Yeah.
That's how he kind of views it that way. Well, thanks to Span, man. And thanks to everyone for listening. I hope you guys found it interesting. If there's any information that you guys need, please email us. You can find us on our details and stuff on Podbean, but you can email any of the podcasts on our, if you're following us, you can email us from there or message us and we can contact you guys if you wanted to find a little bit more about these courses and stuff that we're trying to review and redo. But yeah, that's it, man. Thanks, guys. And we'll chat to you next week. Enjoy your week, guys. And well, thanks, man, to you too. And speak to you soon.
Cheers, guys.